Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen Amma ba'd Fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habiballah As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Noorallah Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the silsila Treasures of Wisdom. And we hope and pray that you and your families are doing well and are keeping in the best of health, inshallah. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah. Today is yet another beautiful day which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to you and I for us to spend in doing those actions which lead to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to abstain ourselves from committing those actions which lead towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And together with that, this day is something it's also for us to be grateful for, to show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a reminder always that you and I have to be grateful to our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to see barakah and blessings in your rizq, in your sustenance, in your life, in this world, in the qabr and in the hereafter, then you and I have to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And together with that as well, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ, that one who is not grateful to people cannot be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So also show thanks to your loved ones, to your friends, to your family. And by doing this, then you are being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that when you are asked, how are you doing, or how are you, or how is life going, then always remember to say, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, that all praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon every single state and circumstances that I may be in. And you will see much, much barakah in your life, in the qabr and in the hereafter, inshallah. Well, today, dear viewers of Madani Channel, we do have a very special and heart-touching topic to discuss. And that is awakening the heart. And to discuss this beautiful topic with me, I have in studio our honorable and respected guest, Mawlana Naushad Attari, hafidhahullah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you keeping, Mawlana sahib?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. And how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Mawlana sahib, I hope your day has been going well so far.
Alhamdulillah,
MashaAllah.
Very good, MashaAllah.
Alhamdulillah. Well, today, Mawlana sahib, we do have an interesting topic of discussion, a rather fascinating one, and that is called awakening the heart.
SubhanAllah.
And in this, Mawlana sahib, you know, we are going to be talking about and discussing various matters.
But the heart
pertaining...
doesn't sleep.
Yes, yes. Allah, Allah, Allah.
If the heart sleeps, then we'll sleep.
Allah Akbar.
Forever.
Forever. That's it, Masab. So see, it, actually, this shows how important it is that the heart should always be awake. But yes, our viewers may be wondering, in what sense?
What sense?
In what sense are we talking about that the heart remains awake? So inshallah, as we go through, Mawlana sahib, I'm sure that our viewers of Madani Channel, they would definitely gain an idea of what we actually mean when we say awakening of the heart. So we are going to be discussing various different aspects in this regard, that some hearts, Mawlana sahib, or we can say majority of hearts are rather asleep. Some hearts, they need an awakening. Some hearts, we can say they are a bit low and they need to be rejuvenated. They need to be energized. But as I mentioned again, Mawlana sahib, that as we go along, we would be clarifying this matter. Of course, you know, I am not a heart surgeon, so I wouldn't be talking from that aspect of it. Rather, we are going to be diving into a very different aspect with regards to our heart. But before then, Mawsam, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that the person closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be that individual who has recited the most amount of salawat upon me in this world. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, the heart is a very delicate organ in our body. And together with being an organ as we know it, Munasab, it's also a very, very special place. And in one narration, it's mentioned that if the heart is sound, then the rest of the body parts, they are also safe and sound.
Yes.
So what we do mean is that at times we find a person's heart is dead, and yet they still breathe, Munasab. A person's heart is dead, yet we still see them walking, talking, eating and living life. So what do we mean when we say awaken the heart? This is from a spiritual side, that at times when a person becomes oblivious of their purpose in this world, the heart tends to become hard, tends to become rusted, and eventually it dies off to such an extent that whenever such a person is given some sort of good advice, the person does not pay heed to it. So we may ask that what is the aim of the creation of our heart? And for this, Imam Sharafuddin Hussein bin Muhammad Tibi rahimahullah, he has said that the sole aim of the creation of the heart is that it should adopt khushu.
Allah.
It should adopt humility for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that his chest is expanded spiritually and his heart becomes worthy of being instilled with light.
Mm.
And he continues further, he says that if there is no khushu, if there is no humility in the heart, then it will be known as a hard heart.
Mm.
And it is necessary to seek refuge from hard-heartedness.
Mm.
So to begin with, and for us to have a better understanding, what do we mean by a hard heart? This is the definition of having a hard heart, where a person does not find khushu in the heart, does not find humility in the heart. And the Holy Quran, it mentions this to us, where in verse 22 of Surah Zumar, the 23rd part of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. The translation from Kanzul Iman, so woe to those whose hearts are hardened against the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. That is why whenever we make dua, always make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you and I from having a hard heart. Because a believer is such that a believer has a soft heart, Munasab. So after knowing, Munasab, the definition of hard-heartedness, right? And after knowing the aim of the creation of our heart is that there should be khushu, there should be humility in it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to further pave the way, Musab, what are some of those causes which actually make a person's heart very hard to such an extent that the person says, I do not need to change my life at all? Who is he to give advice, or who is she to give advice? So what are some of the causes, Muhammad?
Before we get to some of the causes,
Ji.
The hardness of the heart that we are talking about is not something physical.
Ah. Right.
A person may think like, okay, mm-hmm. like a rock or right. something hard. Like.
That's very important. Yes, yeah. to clarify so as well.
On a spiritual level.
Right.
Because we all know the heart is an organ. Mm-hmm. It's fleshy. It's soft. It's like a pump. Yeah. The purpose of it is also to pump the blood, which is the transport system, yeah. which transports the oxygen and the minerals and nutrients to all the cells of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we are talking about on a spiritual level where a person's heart becomes so hard that even if nasiha, if advice is given to that person, it just bounces off. There's no way for it to enter the heart.
Sure.
And you know, the pious predecessors would focus a lot on the heart.
Right.
Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam, you know, advised us regarding the heart. And narration mentions that, you know, there is a piece of flesh in the body that, as you said, if it's sound,
Mm-ji.
Then the rest of the body is sound. If not, then the body is not.
Right.
Allah wa hiya al-qalb. And that is, beware, that is the heart.
The heart.
If that is in the correct way, then the rest of the body will follow suit.
Hmm.
Now, there are many things. But all of those things are negative things which impact the heart. The pious ones, they would tell us, focus on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Think with your heart. Mm. And you know, up until maybe 2 or 3 decades ago only, scientists, they discovered that the heart has neurons, like the brain. So the heart thinks, the heart is like a small brain actually.
Right, right.
They never knew this before. I'm talking about maybe 20, 30 years ago only, they realized that, you know what, the heart has neurons.
Allah.
And the heart can think. So when the pious ones used to tell us, you know, think with your heart, focus on your heart, they didn't say it for nothing.
Allah.
They were aware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them that special knowledge.
Gee.
So if a person engages in consistent sinning, this actually leads to hardening of the heart.
Consistent sinning.
Consistent sinning. We know the narration, a person who commits a sin, a dark spot is entered on the heart. If they make tawbah, it's washed away.
Mm-hmm.
But if they continue sinning, they don't repent sincerely in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they just habitual sinners, the entire heart is engulfed in darkness. And that leads to hardness of the heart, where you will advise a person, yeah, mind your own business. Who are you to tell me? This is my life. I want to live my life how I want to. So that is a symptom now.
Right, right.
One of the symptoms is that advice does not affect the heart of the person. So the causes are the sinful activities a person engages in, whatever type of sin, minor or major sins. Today we see the prevalence of major sins like backbiting, deception, fraud, bribery,
cheating,
criminal activities, jealousy, hatred, malice, wars are raging. You see all of these, you know, major sins that are taking place. Others are taking other people's properties, not giving the sister her share, not giving the brother their share,
Allah.
Not wanting there's accountability. All of these things directly affect the heart and make the heart become hard, so that one of the symptoms is no advice. The person advises, and how many times you tell the person, you know what, okay, get somebody that he listens to advise him.
Someone like close to him.
Close to him.
Right,
then you get the response, you don't listen to nobody.
Right.
Nobody can tell him what to do. The person's heart is hard. Because that's a symptom.
Sometimes also, Mawasab, you may find that a person may be performing salah, right? And they would come back and they would say, I don't find anything in, I don't find this peace in when I perform my salah.
Yes.
So even in this Mawasab, can it also be said that the person's heart has hardened?
Well, according to the definition you have mentioned, that regarding the heart, that if there's khushu, there is humility, humbleness, focus, concentration, then yes, that person's, that's also a symptom as well. Another symptom.
Right.
Where you don't taste the sweetness of your ibadah. Now, we have to think about this now. Have I studied the salah? I learned about salah in madrasa, 5 daily salahs, perform it like this. But have I refined my salah? And behind this, there's so much of knowledge regarding the fara'id of salah, the wajibat of salah. Do I know?
Right.
The makruhat of salah. What about tahara, purification? Have I learned in detail about making sure my clothes are pure, my body is pure, I'm making my wudu properly, my ghusl properly, because all of this are the preconditions of the salah itself. Now in your salah, if you're not focusing, we need to learn. And scholars have mentioned one of the best ways is that you start getting your postures right to the best of your ability.
Mm-hmm.
Now you start getting your pronunciations right, your tasbihat of ruku, sujood, attahiyat, all of these things you're going to read, right? And then generally your Quran recitation, whether in or out of salah. These are like solutions, ways, practical ways that we can implement in order to get that khushu, that full focus and humility and, you know, concentration in the salah. And then the next phase is to memorize whatever you read in your salah. It's going to take you some time. It's going to take some
time. That just makes perfect.
Yes. You know, it will take maybe, depending on how much time you give to learn.
Right.
Dawud Islami has online classes and courses as well. Even face-to-face practical courses and classes that are available. But we have to make ourselves available for this. Even if it's a few minutes a day, enroll in Faizan Online Academy, go to QuranTeacher.net. There is a Salah course that is there.
MashaAllah.
Madini Qaida course, Hibs course, Alima course.
All online.
Online. But we also have classes where, you know, physical classes face to face. Then you start memorizing. Take a week, 2 weeks to memorize the translation of Suratul Fatiha. Now, whenever you're going to read Suratul Fatiha in Salah or out of Salah, as you are reading, then focus your mind on and your heart on the translation. When you're reading Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you're going to focus on two things here.
Right.
One is, am I reading every letter properly? And the other is, all praises are due to Allah, Lord, sustainer of the world. So you're not giving your mind any chance to be distracted.
Right.
You're keeping it very busy. And then you come back and say how you feel in that salah. So that is one of the other symptoms, that a person, they don't feel the connection or the sweetness of the ibadah.
That ruhaniyat,
yes, the spirituality.
Spirituality is not like they, you know.
They don't feel it.
Not fully, they don't really feel it.
So a person who has this these symptoms, now for example, if I got the flu, there's certain symptoms, the nose is going to leak, throat is going to pain, whatever it is, I'm going to take maybe some herbal tablets or some medication, or I'll go to the doctor for a jab or something.
Right.
You know, so I'm going to do something about it. Because I see the symptoms are there.
Yeah.
I know, you know what? I got the symptoms of hard-heartedness. What are you doing about it now? Are you stuck over there? Are you happy with that condition? Or you want to make a change? You know, as they say, that get up and get it done.
Yes.
Don't say, okay, procrastination. And no, get up, get it done. One step at a time.
You know, most of the example that you've given, right? If a person has the flu and the symptoms that are there, obviously a person wouldn't want that flu to get intensified. They would obviously take the precautionary measures, take the medication, take the tablets, so that the flu doesn't intensify even more. But here we see, Mona Sahab, that in this case of the flu, people, you know, they put so much of importance into it. Of course, it is important to take care of one's health. And that's pertaining to one's physical health. But when it comes to the spiritual health, I mean, there's also something called the spiritual health as well. And we see many a times, Mona Sahab, that often at times it's seen that people, well, some neglect the spiritual health. And due to that, they end up having their heart being hard. And so why is it the case that people of this nature, when they are going through this, why is it the case that they are being so reluctant, you know? And of course, they don't even want to take the precautionary measures to eradicate further problems that will come about if those measures are not taken.
It's simple, Uzur. Priorities. Where does your priorities lie? Now, if a person is got a medical condition, they're going to do what is necessary.
100%.
They don't want to feel sick.
Yeah.
Because it affects many other things. You know? Now, if I only understand that the spiritual sicknesses are more dangerous than the medical sicknesses, then I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to learn about these spiritual sicknesses, because as they say, prevention is better than cure.
Right.
I'm going to learn about these spiritual sicknesses. what are the symptoms? What are the solutions to it? And when a person studies this, na, they'll get to understand, hey, you know what? I am actually suffering from this spiritual sickness and this spiritual sickness, whatever it may be.
All right.
Because we need to understand something. Priority is to understand the spiritual diseases that are there.
Right.
That's priority. Of course, you're also going to protect yourself against medical problems. Mm-hmm. But that is secondary.
Right.
Because the medical problems, whatever sickness, whatever chronic disease it is, the worst case scenario, it's going to take your life.
Right.
But for the spiritual sicknesses, what's the worst case scenario? Can finish your iman.
Yes.
Person's iman can become destroyed. And then there's no hope for entry into paradise. So which is more important? You know, you losing your life or you losing your iman? Rather, you lose your life with iman.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That's what dua we must all make every day, actually. For ourselves, our children, our future generations, for the ummah as well. So priorities. If your priorities are in order, that you know what, I got to learn about these spiritual ailments like hard-heartedness. Because hard-heartedness, in fact, one of the days, we covered this in some detail as well. It's a doorway to open other sins. Because when a person feels no shame, feels no haya, and no advices is affecting the person, the person doesn't feel they have to change. If a person's mind is made up, I'm okay, like, you know, I got no issues, like, you know, then how are you going to advise them? What advice they're going to take? When they don't see any problem,
they would end up living life carefree.
Carefree.
Without no boundaries.
Like we see, no boundaries, yes.
Yeah.
So again, we come back to priorities. That if a person understands, you know what, I'm suffering from this spiritual sickness. If I don't get rid of it, it's going to engulf me. Right. And then I'm going to, you know, my iman can be at stake here. If I lose my iman, then what's going to happen to me? So then you'll say, okay, you know what, priority, I have to learn. I have to empower myself. I have to educate myself. I have to know what the symptoms are, which sicknesses I am, you know, involved in. And then slowly, slowly, step by step, you take to eradicate one by one, one by one. It's not an overnight thing.
Right, right.
It's, you know, till the end of your life. The shaitan is always there. The nafs is always there as well.
Can it also be the case where the person doesn't know they are actually suffering from his
disease? Most people don't know.
Right.
If you don't know about a sickness and its symptoms, and you're suffering from that, how are you going to know?
So to them, they may think as if it's normal for them to be carrying on themselves.
They may feel like, hey, I'm just unlucky. I've got bad luck on my side. Nothing works out. The blame game. Shifting the blame to others, always complaining, always being negative, and not taking accountability, not being responsible for your own actions. If you take a step back and see, you know what? How am I contributing to all of these blockages in my life?
Right.
You know, what are some of the causes and reasons?
Right.
We're doing so many of those things and then we complain, oh, you know what, I don't have any blessings in my life. But you are opening that door. You are stopping the blessings from coming in. Likewise, if a person is committing all those bad things, not worried about spiritual ailments, then the person is going to complain, I don't have any blessings, nothing is working out. The whole world is against me. You know, it's like, you know, negative.
So they cause it for themselves.
In a sense, yes.
In a sense, yeah.
So priority is learn your deen, learn about these spiritual ailments as well. And then, you know, slowly you can start getting rid of them from your life.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. So this is actually a very crucial matter, the views of Madir Inchinan, a very serious matter that we should take into consideration to avoid having a hard heart. That we as believers, we should be having a soft heart, a gentle heart, because a hard heart, it doesn't take you anywhere. It actually drowns you more and more into sins. You know, if we were just talking about khushu in salah, if you want to offer salah with khushu and khudu, with humility and humbleness, then the first thing that a person has to do is to refrain from sins. It's clear cut. I mean, it can't get any more sugar-coated than that. And since they are a major obstacle to for a person to gain humility, for a person to gain khushu, and one cannot gain khushu whilst remaining persistent upon sins. So if we want our hearts to soften, if we want for there to be noor in our hearts, then the first thing, as Musab has mentioned, that we need to abstain from sins. You know, Imam Sahal bin Abdullah Tustari rahimahullah, he mentions that shaitan does not come near the person who has khushu in his heart.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar. Why? Because you are showing humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are finding that sweetness in the worship that you perform. You, when you perform salah, you are finding sweetness. When you recite the Holy Quran, you are feeling that sweetness. Whatever ibadah that you do, you feel the sweetness of what you're doing. And also, Masab, you know, you've mentioned so many angles and points, right, pertaining to the causes, to the symptoms of hard-heartedness. And, you know, you've mentioned so many beautiful examples, which nowadays, you know, people usually take it to mean nothing. Like jealousy, oh, it's normal, it's okay. Holding grudges, it's okay. The person did me wrong, I will hold a grudge, it's fine, no problem. Greed as well, you know, and this most of greed, is it also a spiritual disease for a person to have?
Very bad spiritual disease. Case?
Because one may say that, okay, I am greedy, but I'm greedy to have more money to spend as charity. Can that be called a greed, like a good greed or a bad greed?
There is one aspect of hirs, greed.
Right.
Greed for doing good deeds.
Mm.
Because that's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
What your intention is.
Mm-hmm.
You can say it that, you know, I want lots of money so I can help people. Yes. But what your real intention is, you know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows.
Hmm.
So yes, this idea of greed for doing more good, it is there. In fact, this is only kind of greed which is allowed and which we should have.
Hmm.
Greed for doing good deeds for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Zul, hard-heartedness, na? Because of it now, we lose the sweetness of ibadah.
Hmm.
And we rush actually.
Ah.
Just to get the salah over with.
Right.
If you know, I need to do, I pay my zakah, I'll just calculate anyhow and just give it to...
As long as it's done and over.
It's done, you know, I feel
off
like...
my shoulders, it's okay.
Yeah, so there should not be hastiness in these kind of things.
Right.
Because end of the day, if you calculating incorrectly,
mm-hmm.
if you're giving it to the wrong person, all of those things are going to come back and bite you. You know, so likewise, with salah as well, the quality... the pause,
right.
That when you stand there for salah, take a pause, take a break. Few seconds, 5 seconds, just stand and think, what am I going to do now?
Before performing salah.
Before you start your Allahu Akbar.
Right.
You know, gather your thoughts, clear your mind of everything mm-hmm. else that my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at me right now. Always, he's all knowing, all seeing, but he's looking at me right now.
Mm.
And I'm going to worship him. And you know, like this, you gather your thoughts. So similarly, when it comes to committing sins which you know, affect the heart, take a step back,
mm-hmm.
pause first before you do it, and think like, what are the consequences of this? Like, this is one of the solutions.
Gee.
That before committing a sin, whatever type of sin, first pause and think, what's the punishment for this?
The consequences to follow.
The consequences, yeah. You know, and as you said, like many people don't worry, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You go to some Islamic functions also, there's gossiping taking place, there's backbiting. Hey, you know, but the food was so lousy, the bayan was too long, this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, many people have become pessimists,
right?
Very negative in their minds, like, mm-hmm. you know, and then this spreads like a cancer to other people. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why that these advices just bounce off, it's because of hard-heartedness.
So it boils down to that.
Yeah, it comes.
Hard-heartedness.
That's the root. That's the foundation.
Right.
It opens the doors to other sins.
Mm.
And if we're not in an environment where these things are being talked about regularly,
mm-hmm.
directly or indirectly, then it's just, we're going to be one of those people.
Mm.
That, yeah, okay, jealousy, backbiting. We won't consider it. We won't take it as a priority that I need to get rid of these problems that I have.
Right.
But Alhamdulillah, in this environment of Dawud Islami, whether you go for ijtima, whether you're reading the dars or listening to the weekly booklet, audio booklet, whether you are enrolled in one of the classes or courses, mm-hmm. wherever it is, somewhere along the line, you're going to be hearing about be careful for backbiting, be careful for jealousy, be careful for malice, be careful reminders. Of hard-heartedness. The reminders are like constant. Right. You know, even if it's not direct, but somehow, some narration you'll come across, I'm reading this new book, but it mentions something about hard-heartedness there. So we need this year in order for it to sink into our minds and in our hearts as well. If it's once in a while, if I'm in the wrong company, where they're only talking about business, they're only talking about worldly things, they're only talking about sports and stuff, then it's not going to affect you.
Hmm.
You heard one bayan on the Jumu'ah regarding hard-heartedness, but the rest of the 6 days, only, in the corporate world, in the business world, sports, hobbies, entertainment, how it's going to affect you then?
Makes a person oblivious.
You become oblivious. Yeah. So you need to be in the right environment. Hmm. For it to have a positive effect.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. So that was really, really, truly beautifully explained. And that actually clears the way for so many people out there, you know, for them to have a better understanding of the causes, the root foundation of issues in a person's life, that it all boils down to having a hard heart. And, you know, Masab, as they say, that for every problem, there is a solution as well. You know, where there is a will, there is a way. And mashallah, subhanallah, even for hard-heartedness as well, mashallah, there's also a solution. There's also a way for you and I to eliminate this spiritual disease of having a hard heart. But before mentioning this solution, Mansab, we do have a very beautiful kalam. So let us go forward and listen to this beautiful kalam to soften our hearts, to increase our love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once we are back, we are going to mention the solution on how to eliminate hard-heartedness, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Madina, Madina. Madina, phir ja rahe hain ahle mohabbat ke qafle, phir yaad aa raha hai Madina. پھر میری بے قراری کے دن آ گئے پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو پھر گنبد خضرا فضاؤں میں بلا لو پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو مجھے بلا لو شہ مدینہ یہ ہجر کا غم ستا رہا ہے در پہ آؤں یہی تو ارمان دل میں طوفان مچا چاہ رہا ہے پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضا میں بلا لو پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضا میں بلا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے سے لگا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا کر مجھے دیوانہ بنا لو قدموں سے لگا کر نکالو دنیا کی محبت کو میرے دل سے نکالو پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے سے لگا لو یا شاہ مدینہ میری امداد کو آؤ یا شاہ مدینہ میری امداد کو آؤ آفات و بدیات کے سے نکالو آفات و بلیات کے پنجوں سے نکالو پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو مدفن ہو عطا میٹھے مدینے کی گلی میں یا نبی التجا ہے مدفن ہو عطا میٹھے مدینے کی گلی میں للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت میں بنا لو للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت میں بنا لو للہ پڑوسی مجھے جنت میں بنا لو پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو فرقت میں تڑپتے ہیں جو مسکین بیچارے چارے اسباب عطا کر کے انہیں در پہ بلا لو, اسباب عطا کر کے انہیں در پہ بلا لو. پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو, سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو. محبوب خدا سر پہ اجل آ کے کھڑی گئے, محبوب خدا سر پہ اجل آ کے کھڑی گئے. شیطان سے عطار کا ایمان بچا لو, شیطان سے عطار کا ایمان بچا لو. پھر گنبد خضرا کی فضاؤں میں بلا لو, سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو, سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو.
ہے سہنا دشوار یہ جدائی میری, ہو در تک شہا رسائی, نہیں بھروسہ زندگی کا یہ دل میرا ڈوبا جا رہا.
سرکار بلا کر مجھے قدموں سے لگا لو.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ, indeed a very heart touching kalam, and I'm sure it has indeed softened our hearts, it has rejuvenated our souls. And we make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah ta'ala increase our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and grant us all the ability to implement the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, we are discussing awakening the heart. And mashallah, throughout this episode, Mawlana Sahib has shed much light on this topic, whereas we have discussed the causes for a heart to become hard, the symptoms of hard-heartedness as well. And I have mentioned, just before we could go for the kalam, that where there's a will, there's a way. For every problem, there is a solution. And yes, the solution to a hard heart is there as well. But just before I could mention the solution, there is just a few matters for us to take into consideration that we should actually be aware of what causes one's heart to become hard. And Mawlana Sahib has actually mentioned that even idle chit-chat is a cause of hard-heartedness as well. Eating delicious foods, this is also a cause of hard-heartedness, that every time we eat delicious foods, a person's heart becomes hard also. And very, very importantly, laughing excessively, this also causes the heart to become hard as well.
Don't we find these things in our communities? With the prevalence of comedians, even online as well.
Yes.
With the food culture that we have, where people, they compete with each other who can eat more. We see all of these things, and then people, they hang around in the takeouts and what have you, and they engage in idle talk, frivolous activities, the sports, the entertainment in industry, all of these things. It all adds up. It adds to hard-heartedness.
Definitely, most definitely.
Because we can spend our time, nobody's saying don't, you know, enjoy nature. You know, don't engage in recreational activities.
Right.
You know, but use it to your advantage.
Yeah.
Use it that, you know, you look at nature, you go on a hiking trail, whatever it is, and you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu created these plants, these flowers, these mountains, and so this is how a believer has to be. Allah, you look at those things and you recognize the power of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to laughing, they even say that, you know what, humor is the best medicine, but not for you and I as a believer.
Yes.
People just want, you know, they say, no, it's a good de-stress. There's so many other ways of de-stressing, positive ways.
Yes.
And once you know, and this is why knowledge is so important for us to identify what kind of symptoms I have for which types of spiritual maladies, like hard-heartedness. So knowledge is very important from authentic sources and scholars as well.
We have narrations where it's mentioned that to see or to look at the face of an alim, of a scholar, that is an ibadah.
Allah,
Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So, the solution, right, especially for our views of Madani channel, how to eliminate hard-heartedness. And in this regard, a person once came to Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha and informed her that my heart, it is hard. What can I do? And she told her, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha told her to remember death as this will soften the heart.
Subhanallah.
To remember death. I mean, this is how you can eliminate the heart from becoming hard, to frequently remember death. And this will actually soften one's heart, Murasab. Also, in one narration it's mentioned that to stroke the head of the orphan, that also softens one heart.
Subhanallah.
So what other acts are there that a person can do to soften the heart? Of course, we have covered the causes of hard-heartedness, the symptoms for it. We have discussed those actions that a person does, it causes the heart to become hard. And now when we go on to this aspect, these solutions, how can a person gain a soft heart muscle?
I think you mentioned the one that is the main one from all of them.
Which one is that muscle?
To remember death.
Allahu Akbar.
Because people don't like to hear about it. And you know, when you talk about it, no, Murasab, talk about life. We are alive.
Why
are you talking about death? I mean, imagine if they were around in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who used to frequently talk about al-maut. I mean, what they would say then? So because it is, it's missing in our conversations. We talk about everything else, but because the mentioning of death is missing from our conversations, and it can, we know it's going to happen anytime. We know that day.
Right.
It's a reality. It's the remover of pleasures. Whatever pleasure you're having in your life, death will come and finish everything.
Definitely.
And put us 6 feet under. So that is something that we have to do every day.
Right.
Think about it often, that today could be my last day. This hour could be my last hour. This could be the last minute that I have alive. And what preparations am I making for the grave and the hereafter? So the remembrance of death is a potent way to soften the heart.
Right.
Because then what happens is it's also going to encourage one from committing sins. Now, as we mentioned, the committing of sins adds to the hardness of the heart,
right,
which means, of course, I need to give up sinning.
Right.
I need to remove.
Ultimately.
Ultimately, I need to remove sinning from my life. This will help to stop the hardness of the heart. By remembering death, it's going to soften the heart. As you mentioned, beautiful, by stroking the head of an orphan, it will soften the heart. Give charity. Spend that which you love in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So giving charity also will, so basically detaching from the love of dunya, hubb al-dunya, Detaching yourself from that also will help soften the heart.
Right.
By focusing what you mentioned khudu earlier on in your ibadat, especially your salahs, this will also help soften the heart. Cry in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People say that real men don't cry. For you and I, real men cry.
Subhanallah.
Not over worldly personal loss.
Right.
Real men cry out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a real man. And that's going to help to soften the heart as well.
100%.
That you know, you focus on the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about Jahannam.
Yeah.
Contemplate, think about it, and then cry. You know, even if you want to be alone, be alone. Be alone, think, put the lights off, nobody must be around, no noise.
Yeah.
And you think, what's going to happen to me? I'm such a habitual sinner. What if I die whilst committing sins? Remembrance of these things, contemplation, fikr, muhasabah, these things will help soften the heart.
Even to visit the graveyards as well.
Yes,
that can also soften a person's heart.
Yes, I mean, this is why we should also visit the graveyards, to send Iswali Thawab to the deceased, but also to remember that one of these open graves
Allah
is my grave.
Akbar.
The next time you go to the graveyard and you see open graves, don't think, hey, I wonder whose grave this can be. What if it's your grave?
Yes.
What if that is actually where you're going to be buried? So yes, visiting, remembering the deceased and thinking about death, contemplating over the hereafter, abstaining from sins, these things all help to soften one's heart.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, jazakallah, muhasab, for those beautiful words of wisdom. And you know, there's always a light at the end of every tunnel. And for those who perhaps may be in the situation wherein they are looking for that light, then the way to reach that light and to let it be in your heart is to firstly, as Muhasab has mentioned, to abstain from sins. And all of these symptoms that we have mentioned, idle chit-chat, laughing excessively, eating delicious foods all the time, all of these, it causes one's heart to become hard. So if you wish to have softness and khushu in your heart, humility in your heart, then perform good deeds in abundance. And one of the greatest good deeds that a person can do is to recite the Holy Quran. And that also softens the heart. And also treating people with kindness. This is also a means of softening one's heart. You know, a person, as you know, that time, it is always of the essence. But we will conclude with this beautiful narration wherein a person once complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about hard-heartedness. And do you know what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised this person that if you want your heart to become soft, feed the destitute.
Allah.
Feed those who are not as privileged as you are. Go and feed them, sit with them, be in their company. This will soften your heart. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned to stroke the head of an orphan. So take all of these into consideration, and it is never too late to bring about a change. The time is not tomorrow, the time is now. Now is what we have to bring about a positive and beautiful change within ourselves, inshallah. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.